We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
One of the things I love so much about this career and about this job is that no 2 days, no 2 shows are exactly the same. And oftentimes you know, it's like you're on a drive in your car and you're just going wherever the wind takes you. You have a plan, you do your prep, you do all that stuff. But never, like 24 hours ago, I never thought here in the upstate of South Carolina, right in between Atlanta and Charlotte, that the first hour and 20 minutes of the show would be about the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, lo and behold, we have a Chiefs fan as a producer. He's defending the decision to keep Tyreek Hill on the team. I'm dead set against it. And we already had planned to talk about Pat Mahomes. And this guy, to me,
I hate to interrupt, but sure. MVP Pat Mahomes.
MVP Pat Thank Mahomes, you. No doubt about it. This dude is, I mean, he's transfixing the NFL right now. We've never seen anything like him. He, to me, is the Pistol Pete Maravich of the quarterback position because we've never seen the no-look pass before. We've never seen the kind of arm angles that this guy's given us. And might I say that he seems like he's better in the NFL than he was in college, something I never thought I would say before. Had a 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio in college. It's 4-1 in the NFL. Joining us right now is a former colleague of mine and a sports radio show host in Houston, Texas. You can hear him in Texas on ESPN Radio and as well on SB Nation Radio. He's also a graduate of Texas Tech University, and he joins us right now. Cody Stutes is on the line. Cody, thanks for making the time, brother. What's going on?
Absolutely, man. Anytime. And, hey, let's get it right. It is not only MVP. It is the reigning, defending, undisputed MVP of the National Football League.
100%. So, Cody, were you at Texas Tech when Mahomes was there? Did you guys overlap at all?
I was not a student there, but I was spending time covering Texas Tech University as a member of the media in Lubbock. I worked for the flagship station at Texas Tech Sports. I hosted pre- and post-game shows around the football games. And so I'm intimately familiar with the recruiting of Patrick Mahomes, the time he was there at Texas Tech, and everything that went into it. And I still have great ties in the area, and plenty of my guys have given me great information on him, great stories. And you know, from what I've been able to uncover, the people I've talked to, I've got a pretty good knowledge base of this guy. I know more about Patrick Mahomes than I know about any other Texas Tech quarterback. I'll say that much.
What is your favorite Pat Mahomes story, Cody, that most people don't know about?
My favorite Pat Mahomes story is that he and Cliff Kingsbury would watch NFL football together on Sundays. You know, they would play Saturday. Sure. Everybody would, you know, get their work in Saturday night. They'd know their marching orders, and they'd have a day off. Well, there was no day off for Mahomes, and there's no day off for Kingsbury. They'd go in, but they wouldn't work on the game from the night before. That was all later in the evening and Monday and things like that. They'd watch NFL football together, and they'd watch a ton of games, and they'd watch it in one of the classrooms on a projector, and as soon as they saw a play that they liked, Kingsbury would tell Mahomes to run to the whiteboard, and he would draw the play as he saw it. And then they'd rewind it, and they'd make sure they drew it as they saw it in the NFL. Then Kingsbury would not instruct Mahomes on how to do it. He would tell Mahomes, translate it to our offense. Go up there, move guys around like you need to, move offensive linemen like you need to. Tell me how you would run this play in our offense. And Mahomes would do that. He would change things around. And the player that Mahomes mentioned they watched the most in that setup was they watched Aaron Rodgers play a ton, and they wanted to take a lot of the things that the Packers did and what Aaron Rodgers was able to do, and they wanted to translate that to Texas Tech University's offense on Saturdays. And so that's probably my favorite story, is that they could have had the day off. And look, Mahomes took a beating in college. Like, he played with some decent offensive lines, but he still took a beating. He was very reckless at times, and so he took some big shots. So I know the guy's hurting. Kingsbury obviously had a job to do to get ready for next week of football, but they'd sit together on Sundays, they'd watch NFL football, and then they would just be football nerds and translate plays into the Texas Tech offense. That's probably my favorite story.
All right, Cody, Mark has pointed out that I am a Chiefs fan, been a Chiefs fan for a very long time. I got to tell you, I was a big Alex Smith fan, and I was pretty upset when they let him go and were throwing this rookie out there because, he played, one game his first year? Why are they doing this? I could not believe it. And everybody was really high on him, including Andy Reid. And then we see what he did this past year. Is this just the beginning, or is he going to level off, or do you think he's going to get even better?
So the ceiling is limitless for this guy because we didn't see his true potential at Texas Tech. There were limits what he could do with Texas Tech. The defense never helped him out. The defense never gave him good field position. And not to say that the Kansas City Chiefs did a great job on defense this year, but if that gets incrementally better, I mean, the sky is the limit. And then the floor for this guy, I think the floor is actually really high for Patrick Mahomes too. Like, his floor, like on a bad year, I think he's still one of the 10, 12 best guys statistically. And I think the interesting thing to look at is he's an elevator. So if you give him good talent, he makes those guys great. If you give him great talent, you have transcendent talent around him. And that's probably one of the most impressive and one of the most important assets about him being a quarterback. He's an elevator. The floor is really, really high, and he's going to make do with whatever he has. I mean, you look at his time at Texas Tech, it's not like he played with a ton of really good future NFL caliber wide receivers. Like, Graham Harrell played with Michael Crabtree in his final 2 years at Texas Tech. Crabtree was a first-round pick. I mean, Jakeem Grant's in the league, but Jakeem Grant's been an afterthought for the Dolphins. Kiki QT's in the league. Kiki QT was a fourth-round pick. And then you look at the rest of the roster, there's hardly any of those guys that even got sniffs in the NFL that Mahomes played with. Then you see him with the Chiefs, and you're like, okay, big-time talent Travis Kelce, big-time talent Tyreek Hill, big-time coach like Andy Reid to get the most out of him and start pulling the most out of him. I think we've just scratched the surface. I don't know that you're going to see eye-popping numbers every single year, but the efficiency and just getting better at a lot of the small things and just dissecting defenses, that's the growth pattern for him, and that's where he's going to start growing.
Host of ESPN 97.5 and SB Nation Radio out of Houston, Texas, my former colleague Cody Stutes joining us on the show. Cody, I am a firm believer that a quarterback has the ability to take a mediocre team and make them good, take a good team and make them great, to truly elevate the level of play on the team. I would point to, of course, my guy Tim Tebow, what happened at Florida with him, and what's happened at Florida since he's left. To me, it is hard for me to wrap my head around that the combination of Pat Mahomes and Cliff Kingsbury went 13-16 at Texas Tech in the games he started. I can't, like, okay, NFL coach, hot name of the year coach, flavor of the month coach in the NFL, and the league's MVP. Cody, how did that happen? 13-16. That's why I didn't think he was great coming out of college. How were we all so wrong here? Why wasn't that combination better?
At some point, the Big 12 is predicated on offense, but at some point, someone's going to get tired. And typically, the Texas Tech offense had a monumental task ahead of them. I mean, just thinking back to 2015, Pat Mahomes and company score 52 points, they lose 55-52. They score 35 points, they lose 63-35. They lose 63-27 against Oklahoma. They lose 70-53 against Oklahoma State. Pat Mahomes was never the problem. Yeah, he had a play here or there where you probably wanted it back. Yeah, he had a play here or there where he could have made a better decision with the football. But that's where the defense is supposed to pick you up. That's where those guys are supposed to help you. And the defense was atrocious at Texas Tech for a very, very long time, almost the duration of Cliff Kingsbury's time at Texas Tech. The defense was bad, frequently going through defensive coordinators, frequently failing to recruit top-flight defenders or even good defenders. At one point, they moved a wide receiver to play defensive end. Think how crazy that sounds, okay? They moved a wide receiver to play defensive end. The defense was the problem for the win-loss record. Go ask Baker Mayfield and Oklahoma about playing Pat Mahomes on a Saturday night. Go ask all those Baylor teams, Mike Gundy, about playing Pat Mahomes. Those guys hated playing Pat Mahomes because they knew Texas Tech had the potential to score maybe 70 points on that Saturday night, and it didn't matter what guys were playing. As long as Mahomes was there, as long as Five was there, they had the potential to score points, and every time they got the ball, the expectation was, man, Texas Tech might score here. It was not a Mahomes problem. It was a Kingsbury and defense problem. So the win-loss record, a lot of times you can put a win-loss record on a quarterback, especially in college, but I'm not putting the win-loss record for Texas Tech on Patrick Mahomes from his time there. The organization, if you will, the football team, the defense, the head coach, they failed him. Now, Pat Mahomes didn't fail them.
I'll tell you what. Pat Mahomes to me, and I would see highlights, and I would see Texas Tech every so often when he was there. It wasn't like he was this name. He wasn't a Trevor Lawrence name at the collegiate level. Timmy Chang, for a while, quarterback under June Jones at Hawaii, led, was the all-time leader in passing yards in NCAA football history. I looked at Pat Mahomes as a guy who played for one of these fluky offenses that put up a ton of numbers, and you never really know how good or bad he is, product of the system kind of guy. Now, I'm going to challenge you here, Cody, because you and I were colleagues together, and there was a time when I was saying 2 years ago in April that the Texans must do whatever they have to do, pay any price to get Deshaun Watson, but any price. And whenever I was on the weekends and you were on in the middays, I like every show that I had was centered around pay any price to get Deshaun Watson. I don't remember hearing you say pay any price to get Pat Mahomes. Did you foresee this level of dominance? Were you that convinced of his greatness at the collegiate level?
I would say this. I wanted Pat Mahomes. That was the guy I wanted them to get. But I was fine at a different level with either Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. They had to get one of those two guys for the Texans. That was my thought process back then. My preference was Pat Mahomes. And if you remember, a couple of stories have come out around draft time and then since that Bill O'Brien really liked Pat Mahomes as well. I think the tough part is Pat Mahomes into a situation where the overall talent of the offense is better, the head coach is much better, the offensive staff is much better, and we see that pay off. Now, Deshaun Watson, he has not had a career to sneeze at. I mean, Watson has been fantastic. He had a 6-week, 7-week run where he was one of the most exciting things the NFL has ever seen. And then last year, he did a lot of the small tweaks to his game, eliminating interceptions, eliminating, late in the season, the desire to run and try to get those extra yards. I mean, I think they're both going to be fantastic. I think we're going to be robbed as football fans if we don't see them eventually square off in the AFC Championship game more than once. I would hope for kind of a 3- or 4-round thing between these two guys. Look, if you told me Deshaun Watson was going to go to Kansas City and do the same thing Patrick Mahomes did last year, I'd probably believe you. And if you told me that for those 6 or 7 games where Watson was the most exciting thing going, Pat Mahomes could have done that, I would believe you. I think they're equal. They're different, but I think they're equal as far as what they can do in the NFL. I would say, though, Mahomes feels like his floor is a little bit higher, and whereas I think Watson's ceiling is as high, but it's a different style of ceiling because he's asked to be a different thing for the franchise. Like Watson's a savior. Mahomes is the next big thing, or is the big thing already, whereas Watson has to be savior because that situation and that position in Texas, or in Houston, rather, has been so dire for so many years. So he has to be savior, whereas Mahomes just has to be great. I think it's a different...
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Cody. You surprised me there by saying, hey, I think these guys have equally elite traits, because that's not where we are in terms of popular opinion in the NFL today. I continue to see lists where Pat Mahomes is number 1 or 2 and Deshaun Watson is nowhere in the top 10. And I think people are really missing the bigger picture that Pat Mahomes has Andy Reid and elite weapons. Deshaun Watson has DeAndre Hopkins and the worst offensive line in the National Football League. How much of that is playing into the perception? How much of that horrible offensive line for Deshaun Watson is playing into this perception that Pat Mahomes is so much more talented than he is?
I would people, go watch Deshaun Watson play, and you'll realize that, oh, man, there's a lot there. Because the box score doesn't tell you the story. The box score is going to tell you a part of the story with Deshaun Watson. But you have to remember, what is he asked to do? What do they allow him to do? What kind of plays do they call? What limitations does he have? I'll say this, and I might sound crazy when I say this. If Will Fuller plays more than 10 games this year for the Texans, if Kiki QT plays 16, if DeAndre Hopkins plays 16, Deshaun Watson's going to have a statistically better season than Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
I truly believe that.
Wow.
I truly believe that. I believe this could be one of the best offenses in football in Houston, but there's a lot of ifs. Can the offensive line go from the 31st, 32nd offensive line to the 16th offensive line, the 17th offensive line in football? If that happens, I believe Watson can have a statistically better season and will have a statistically better season, but there are so many ifs. Think about all the ifs. Ifs on Will Fuller's health. Hasn't played a full season, I think, ever in the NFL. Ifs on Kiki QT's health. Was injured a ton last year. Ifs on DeAndre Hopkins' health. Finally got hurt at the end of last year. Ifs on this offensive line. Ifs on Bill O'Brien not being overwhelmed with all the extra stuff around this team. There's so many ifs that keep him from getting to that level. I believe he's capable of it. I don't know if he can get there, but if all those ifs are answered the right way, he will get there.
Cody Stutes, former colleague of mine, now a host for ESPN 97.5 and SB Nation Radio out of Houston, Texas. Love the insight on Pat Mahomes. Great story he shared with us. Cody, appreciate you, man. I knew you were the guy to talk to about this, and you didn't let me down, man. Thanks. Let's do it again soon.
Anytime, man. Sounds good.
All right. Cody Stutes, a colleague of mine out of Houston, Texas. Love the story. Love the story about Pat Mahomes and like Cliff Kingsbury diagramming plays up on, you know, they'd watch a play, they'd love it out of the NFL, and then he'd have them diagram it in real time on the board. Dude is a savant. Pat Mahomes is an idiot savant in terms of, it's a phrase, Lonzo, that means you're really smart.
I'm well aware of it.
Really smart.
Yes.
He's an idiot savant in the NFL. The guy is just a witch. I don't think we've ever seen anything like him.
See, the thing is, a year ago, if you heard this story, would you have believed it? Maybe not. But you hear it now, and you're like, yeah, I can see that happening. So it's one thing. It's one thing for someone to tell a story like that. It's we can see what he's what he did on the field last year that garnered him the NFL MVP. So yeah, I definitely could see it. And it would be so cool to be in the room to see that.
A year ago, right now, everyone was saying we have no idea what to expect
a year
of the
ago,
Kansas City Chiefs.
Right now, I was ticked off. Like I said, because I was an Alex Smith fan, and Alex Smith had just had the best season of his entire career.
Was never
going
to take it to the promised land. Really limited guy. Really
well,
limited.
Mahomes hasn't gotten us there yet either, okay. But he took us a step further.
Yeah, but he's shown you the ability to do that.
Some defense,
there are some parallels with the decision to replace Alex Smith with Pat Mahomes to Dabo Swinney replacing Kelly Bryant with Trevor Lawrence. You had the safe guy who could get you wins and run within the offense, be a game manager, and then you had the guy that was going to rewrite everything. Trevor Lawrence is rewriting everything for Clemson. Pat Mahomes is rewriting everything for Clemson. I thought last year at this time that the Chiefs would win somewhere between 6 and 10 games, and I had no idea how many, but I expected them to be either average, slightly below average, or slightly above average. What they did and who Pat Mahomes was absolutely positively floored me completely. All right, coming up next on the show, believe it or not, I have to take a coworker to task on something, and his name is not Lonzo. What a shock. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan. It's right here on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know, I love about our what we get to do here that, you know, it can be lively, it can be passionate, it can be fun, it can be heated. Where else in, I'm so fortunate, like, where else do you get to have a job where you get to express yourself in this way? It's a beautiful thing. Our thanks to Cody Stutes for joining us in the last segment. I'm just coming after everybody today. Earlier this week, Diesel, who is the producer of Straight Up with Sturge, put out his blog, and we're knocking out of the park, folks, on our website right now. I'm just going to be honest with you. I know that probably doesn't sound very humble, but it's the truth. Okay, on Monday, every Monday, Sturge has a blog. On Tuesday, Diesel has a blog. On Wednesday, Diddy has a blog. On Thursday's my day to have a blog. I wrote yesterday about how the story behind how, my opinion, Dabo Swinney will never leave Clemson for Alabama, and I gave you all the reasons why. Today, Patrick Brown is going to have a blog, and then tomorrow, Saturday, Lonzo will have, is it Between the Ropes, Lonzo? Inside the Ropes?
You notice how he knows everybody else's thing, but he doesn't know mine.
Did I say everyone's inside, name on the blog? Yeah, I just said you have a blog. I'm trying to think of the name.
Yeah, it's ESPN Upstate Inside the Ropes. All the things that Mark won't let us talk about, I talk about.
There you go. There's a platform for that.
Some wrestling.
There's a platform for that.
Tell him.
There you go. Okay, so Diesel wrote this blog earlier this week, and he's talking about his take is Greenville will never, ever, ever be home to a major sports franchise. And he goes on to say Greenville, South Carolina is one of the fastest growing cities in America. It's booming with industry from BMW to GE, ZF Transmissions and more. It's also known as a foodie destination. Restaurant chains who have primarily focused on more metropolitan cities like Charleston have seen enough value to open up shop right here. Drive 10 minutes in either direction from Woodruff and 385, and you'll find at least three new apartment communities being built. We're undergoing massive growth, and there have been rumors, albeit faint rumors, that Greenville would be a desirable location for a major expansion team. But here's why it'll never happen. And he gives you the 1 through 4. Number one, population for the entire Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson, and surrounding communities is 1.4 million people. He says Green Bay, home of the Packers, is approximately double the size of Greenville itself by itself and has the luxury of being born in a time that market wasn't a factor. Market size wasn't a factor. Number two, the residents don't support live entertainment venues. Is that true, Lonzo? Residents here don't support live entertainment venues. What do you think?
He goes to more than we do, so we got to take his word for it, I guess. But
from most concerts to minor league sports teams, attendance is largely woeful. Any city that doesn't gobble up tickets shouldn't be considered by investors as a right opportunity.
Have you seen the bands that he kind of likes, though? They're like death metal, so he's probably right. Upset there's no death metal around here. The concerts that I've been to were well attended. So I don't know.
Number three, Charlotte is 25 years ahead of Greenville and beating us to the punch every step of the way. Charlotte already has NFL and NBA franchises, has long been considered an attractive opportunity for Major League Baseball expansion, and now are heavy favorites for MLS expansion. Number four, Clemson sports are on such a roll that fans expect a winner. If you're not winning immediately, no one will come. So basically, he continues, it's not impossible, but it's pretty much impossible, and I'm fairly certain most Greenvillians are A-OK with that. Folks, Diesel, take the corn cobs out of your ears, son. Open your eyes, wake up, and smell the coffee, all right? Because I'm here to tell you, I think this area has, in the future, a very real possibility, a real shot of being home to a big league team. We've already got the Greenville Triumph playing in USL League One. I know those guys are really, really forward-thinking people. But you look at this area, you look at the growth. I'm sharing with you that a couple of weeks ago, actually 3 weeks ago today, all right, I was attending a wedding in Asheville. And in attendance at the wedding is a big wig guy in construction in this area. I'm not gonna give out any names. He's involved in architecture, engineering, has all the models, the plans, so on and so forth. And what he told me is that all of his models and projections say that within 20 years, Greenville is going to be bigger than Charlotte. Now, bigger You know, a lot of times, what does bigger mean exactly? Because today, you look at the market sizes, and in terms of market sizes, our market, as Diesel said, has 1.4 million people. Charlotte has 2.3 million people. But guess what, folks? I was in Charlotte 2 days ago for the first time ever. And, you know, I'm expecting to go to Charlotte. And the last two cities that I've lived in have been Tampa Bay and Houston, right? So I'm thinking to myself, Charlotte is probably going to feel more like Tampa than Houston. And I'm driving along and I'm going on my way and I'm looking at my GPS and I've got 20 minutes to go. And I'm like, this looks just like Greenville. I've got 15 minutes to go. Looks just like Greenville. Looks 10 minutes to go. Looks like just like Greenville. 5 minutes to go before I'm in downtown Charlotte. Looks just like Greenville. It didn't look any different to me than what I see driving through our 385. Okay? It didn't look any different until I was 3 minutes away. So there is exactly 3 minutes of space where it looks different than Greenville. You get to downtown Charlotte. Downtown Charlotte, folks, is one block long. That's it. I mean, your peripheral vision, when you're looking right at downtown Charlotte, your peripheral vision sees the end of it. It is literally one block long. The crown jewel of downtown Charlotte is a 23-year-old football stadium where the Carolina Panthers play. Do we really feel like we can't be that? You know, Diesel said to me, they have 11 high-rises, we have two. Well, that's a good way to look at it, but can we not have 11 high-rises here? I mean, you know, like where we are today, where we are in terms of our growth, you know, I trust with this what this construction executive told me. I really, really do. Are we what Charlotte is right now in present day? No, we're not. But my prevailing feeling, having been to Charlotte and been back, is number one, I really like it. Number two, it's small. You can't tell me that this area can't do that. You can't tell me that this area can't grow into that in that area. And I was talking to people about that when I was there. I'm like, man, this it feels tiny here. And they said, yeah, it's really not much of a downtown. It has sprawling suburbs. And I said, well, guess who else has sprawling suburbs? The upstate. Greenville can be the epicenter, and Greenville's downtown can continue to grow with major corporate support from companies like BMW. But the sprawling areas we already have here. We go north to Spartanburg, southwest to Anderson and Clemson, and all parts in between. And Charlotte has cute little names for all of their suburbs as well. But the way I see it, when he told me Greenville is going to be bigger than Charlotte within 20 years, right now our Greenville and the entirety of our surrounding areas, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson, surrounding communities, 1.4 million people. Charlotte is 2.3. Within 20 years, do you guys buy that what this construction executive, what this surveyor is telling me, do you believe it to be correct? And if it is correct, do you subscribe to the notion that Greenville or the upstate could be home to a professional sports team sometime in the next 20 years? 1-844-477-3776 is the number. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. The text line is there for you. It's 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter, where our policy is, if you follow us, we will get to your tweets on the air. At ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word, at MARC Ryan on Air. And you can also email the show, Mark Ryan, MARC Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. I firmly believe in the models, and I firmly believe in the construction models, in the growth in this area that we continue to see. You can see the growth right before your eyes. And we're not the size of Charlotte today. But according to the projections, we have many, many more projects in the works than that city does, than that town does. And I just got back from Charlotte, and I'm here to tell you, it was tiny. It was funny. You know, I joined Straight Up with Sturge the other day, and Josh Phillips was filling in, and I was bagging on Diesel for this, and he's like, you would know a lot about being tiny, Mark. And I said, I would have a problem with that joke, Diesel, if it wasn't true. So we had a lot of fun with that. But I just came back from Charlotte. It looked like a bunch of suburbs in a one block long downtown. That was my impression. Am I wrong? You guys tell me. Do you believe the construction executive when he says Greenville's going to be bigger? The R surrounding area, the upstate, is going to be bigger than Charlotte within 20 years? And could that give birth to a professional team? 1-844-477-3776 is the number. We'll take your calls, your thoughts, your texts, your tweets on that right after this on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan. Weezer bringing you back. Happy Friday, one and all, to you. A check on Twitter, which is blowing up today, man. It's good. I love when we connect with you guys in such a viral fashion. Carolina Scooter says, not sure about what you're saying, Mark. We're so close to Atlanta and Charlotte. Why stick a pro team in between those? Well, why stick a pro team in between those? I do not believe that the upstate could ever be what Atlanta is. And I do not believe that the upstate should ever want to be what Atlanta is. Atlanta is a true metropolis that is the home of CNN and Turner Sports. Okay. That place is the most congested place that I've ever lived in my life. That place is the ninth largest market in the country. And I've had people say to me, it's more like three or four when you consider the media that's there, CNN being headquartered there, right? Charlotte, by comparison, is your neighborhood ice cream shop compared to Atlanta. The question is not, can we be Atlanta? The question is, what do you start doing? I mean, Carolina Scooter says, okay, we're so close to Atlanta and Charlotte, why stick a pro team in between those? Well, why would you keep going north to Charlotte if the upstate is outgrowing those areas? Because I think, folks, that could happen. I've been told that will happen. I've been told that is happening. And mind you, please also know that I love this area. Having been here 6 months, I love this area. And I would love to see a highest level team here one day. I would love to see that. I mean, that would be something that would really, really excite me. Those kinds of things help to put an area on the map. What was Charlotte when the NBA left town? What was Charlotte before the Carolina Panthers went there? You know what it was before they went there? The upstate. That's what Charlotte was before those teams arrived. And having those teams enhances the brand of the city itself. You go to downtown Charlotte, what do you see? The crown jewel of the downtown is the football stadium that's 23 years old. It's tiny, folks. Really, really small.
But listen, you keep talking about could we. Yeah, we could, but you're not saying should we or do we want one? Because I think a lot of people around here would say no. I think that's what he's saying. If we want to go to one, we can go within driving distance. I like the small town feel that is Greenville. And when it becomes something else, you're going to find out that it's going to make a lot of people unhappy. I hope it never gets big enough to sustain that. I like it being small, and I think most people who live here also like it that way.
I don't consider this area small. I consider this right now to be a medium-sized market. You know, it's TV market number 38. It's radio market number 59. I don't consider that to be a small market, Lonzo. We're 29,000 people in terms of radio market size, 29,000 people away from having a million people in the market. This isn't a small market. It doesn't feel like a small market. There's a charm to it. There's certainly a charm to it. but it's growing and it's booming.
Yeah, but you lose your charm. And when you bring in a stadium or you bring in a pro team, you also bring in pro team problems, you know, all that stuff that goes with it. I mean,
pro team problems, those are good problems to have. Those are first world problems.
For a bigger city, maybe.
You know, and Jacksonville. What was Jacksonville before they had the Jaguars? Jacksonville is sprawling. Jacksonville is over a massive area. The upstate is over a massive area. But again, really small downtown in Jacksonville, right? Look what the professional team does for their image. And I would say to anyone who just said what Lonzo did, that I'm not trying to burst your bubble and I'm not trying to affect your image of what used to be your cute little town, but it's already changing and it's already growing. And for me, being new here and being wanting to be a part of something that's changing and growing, I think it's fantastic. Every time I see roadblocks up, I'm celebrating. Every time I see construction going up, I'm celebrating. Because guess what that means for you and me? Growth opportunity for all of us. Potential new businesses to be sponsors of ESPN Upstate.
More right? People on the road, and then your 8-minute drive that you always are so happy about becomes a 20-minute drive.
And you know what? If we grow to that point, I'll make that sacrifice. 8 minutes to 20 minutes, no big deal.
I'm not interested in driving an hour to work.
No big deal. It's all about do we want, you know, what do you want this area to be? Are you with Lonzo? Do you want this to be your cute little small town? Or are you totally on board with the growth that you're seeing all around you? Are you on board with what construction bigwigs are telling your humble host, Mark Ryan, at weddings? You know, where do you stand? Where are you on the growth of this area? I mean, I think Lonzo makes a... What's the flag here?
You called yourself a humble host.
Yeah, that, well, of course, Lonzo. That's tongue-in-cheek, right? You did say I have the second biggest ego with you being number three that you've ever worked with.
You know, the sad part is you didn't get it. I said number one is no longer with us. So what's that make you?
Number one. Number one. Hey, listen, I wear that with a badge of honor. Coach Horn, at Coach Horn _ WHS, tweets in, we could host an MLS or NWSL team here in Greenville. Coach, I completely and totally agree with you. It puts you on the map. And, you know, some of you may not want to be on the map. But I'm telling you, whether you want to or don't, it's changing. And you can either embrace change or you can get left behind. That's the way that it goes. The other thing I want to get to is this. I saw this yesterday and I thought it was fascinating. I have the 8 winningest teams in the NFL over the last 10 years. I have their records in the National Football League over the last 10 years. Lonzo, quiz time for you, okay? Give me the top 5 NFL teams, okay, over the last 10 years in terms of wins and losses. Some of these should be very easy to you. I'm going to guess that you're going to get 3 out of 5 correct. Go.
You know, I could have just looked at the list because I think you wrote it on there, but I didn't because I never really look at the rundowns, obviously. I'm going to go with the Patriots.
Okay. The Patriots are on the list. Who else? Last 10 years, NFL.
Last 10 years, I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Incorrect.
Really? That's surprising. All right.
Not even in the top 8. I'm just asking you for the top 5.
So they were in the top 10 then?
No, the list only goes to the 10.
It only goes 8? Okay. Yeah. Really? Oh, geez. I'm Dallas?
No.
This is, I can't believe I don't know any of these.
Last 10 years, best records in the NFL last 10 years. You got one, Lonzo. I was saying you would be better than this, Lonzo.
Denver.
Denver is on the list, but not in the top 5. So there we go. Lonzo got 1. All right, here you go. Counting down from 8 to 1. Number 8 is Denver. Their record, listen, to be in the top 8 records the last 10 years, right? All you have to do is remove the 0, move the decimal point over, you get their average season. Denver's 90 and 70. That gets them the eighth best record in the NFL. That's an average year of 9-7 the last 10 years, right?
That's still not great.
Right. It's not great at all. I mean, that's all you have to do is be an average year of 9-8, and you have the eighth best record over the last 10 years. Atlanta's one game better at number 7, 91-69. The Baltimore Ravens are sixth at 93-67. In the top five now, here we go. Seattle, 94-65. That's an average season of 9.4 wins, 6.5 losses. New Orleans, number four, 160 right on the nose. Average year the last 10 years is 10-6. Green Bay is two games better, 158 with two ties. Average season, 10-5.8 losses. Number two, the Pittsburgh Steelers, with a record of 103-56. Average season, 10.3 wins, 5.6 losses. And then, folks, not even freaking close to anybody else. Nobody else in the NFL has won twice as many games than they've lost in the last 10 years. The New England Patriots have won more than three times as many games as they've lost. I'll say that one more time. No other team in the NFL in the last 10 years has won twice as many games as they've lost. The Patriots have won more than three times as many games as they've lost. The Patriots' record the last 10 years is 123-37. That's an average season of 12.3 wins and 3.7 losses. That is 20 games better, two games per year better than the second best team over the last 10 years. It is absolutely positively mind-numbing. Okay, here we go. Coming up next, he is a budding superstar on your favorite NFL team, and there's a love connection there. I'll explain when Offsides with Mark Ryan continues right after this on ESPN Upstate.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Hope your Friday is going very, very well. So grateful to have you with us here. So anyway, Christian McCaffrey, man, is making defenders miss off the field as well. Christian McCaffrey is reported to be linked to Instagram model Olivia Culpa. Olivia Culpa. Now, as Lonzo feverishly does a search for her so he can check her out, I'll tell you, she's smoking hot. She's really, really hot. And a few years ago, and folks, again, the last thing I want to do is spread rumors about the player that I love the most. But I saw some on good account. I read some stories that were sourced well. Tim Tebow and Olivia were in a relationship, right? My favorite guy. So Christian McCaffrey is now dating Tim Tebow's ex-girlfriend. And, I think Olivia may have disputed this, but there were reports out there that the relationship was falling on hard times because Tim Tebow would not give up his vow to withhold sex until marriage. And Tim Tebow, at last check, still is a virgin. He is now engaged. I think he's engaged to like Miss South Africa, who's now living in the United States with him. And she's doing a lot of modeling in New York City and so on and so forth. But reportedly, that relationship ended because Tim Tebow would not sleep with Olivia Culpa. And Olivia Culpa wanted a relationship that she could have physical intimacy with. I'm going to guess that there isn't that problem with Christian McCaffrey. Not that it's a problem. Everybody has their own preferences, but I think it's interesting nonetheless. If you're honest with yourselves, Tim Tebow looks a little bit like Christian McCaffrey. They're both absolutely yoked. They have the same kind of hairstyle. And Christian McCaffrey, my man, good on you. Olivia Culpa. Men in the upstate feverishly Google searching her right now. You'll be happy you did. The top three at three, presented by Moe's Southwest Grill, is coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.